Number 224, let's all stand as we sing. Ask Pastor Gossman if he would come and bring the message. So Pastor Gossman's going to come this time. And it's good to have everyone there at the banquet last night and just see a lot of the history of our church and to have Pastor Gossman with us. He's been in our church for 40 years. And that's something that's special and is unusual, I think, in many churches to have a pastor that's there that long. And wanted to have him come and preach today. If you were not able to be there last night, we did get a video of that. Some of the testimony, well, I think all the testimonies and the message from Pastor Steve Spence. And so hopefully we'll have that posted on our YouTube channel soon. Hopefully soon. Hopefully this week sometime. So just encourage you to go back and look at that from last night. So, Pastor Gossman.
We really thank each one that had a part in making that event possible last night. I think probably starting with Jenny, that she's not here today, but her, and then just each of you that participated in that. It was a very kind of an overwhelming event, and there was a couple that had prepared things to say. I had nothing prepared to say. It was kind of overwhelming at the moment, but looking out over each of those, and looking at each one and each one of you, I just see the Lord's working. And you could just, everybody had a story of how God worked in their lives. And what a blessing to see the working of God in the lives of His people. This was not about an individual. This was about the way God works in our lives. And what a blessing. What a blessing it was. I just thank each of you for any part that you were able to have in that. And we pray that the Lord will use that even now in the lives of those. And there were some there. It was an answer to prayer to see them there and see God beginning to work in their lives. And so we just continue to pray for God's working. Of course, we were surprised with daughters that weren't supposed to be able to be there, and them showing up at the last minute, and even in the pert near to the middle of the night when Deborah and McKessa ended up with their family behind me in the car, wondering what is this car, followed me in here at 11 o'clock at night behind me, and we just it was. But at the last minute, McKess felt that Deborah should be able to be here, and they made plans to leave and to drive, and they have not having time to plan ahead of time. They had to leave early this morning to get back to responsibilities that they had to have. So, but anyway, we thank each of you and looking at what the Lord would have me to bring this morning, you know, I have I remember a man in my church when I was a teenager that was convinced 1960, this is the year of the Lord's return. The Lord is coming this year. 1960. He just seemed like with the events. I mean, he wasn't predicting dates or times, but just like, wow, I think the Lord is coming. This is many years later, and you know, we can tend to get lethargic, thinking this may happen one of these days, but really not without being really prepared. And so I chose this scripture not as an expository message, but kind of as a topical message this morning. The sudden, without warning, return of Christ. The sudden, without warning, return of Christ. You know, back in November 29th, 2019, approximately 8,000 miles from here, there were some troops in Afghanistan that when they were invited for breakfast at a place, there was President and Melania Trump serving them breakfast. There were 1,500 troops, quite unexpectedly, that President Trump addressed them there in Afghanistan, completely surprised. We did not know in our country that was taking place. There were very few that knew anything about that. It didn't happen suddenly in the sense that there hadn't been planning. The president had planned that some months beforehand, but just thinking, these troops are away from home on Thanksgiving. What if we could be there in that war zone? He was there at the, there was events planned at what Mar-a-Lago estate that he had, and they were planning a Thanksgiving thing there where he was going to address them. But that the night before, they snuck him out. I don't know what the back door of that estate is, but anyway, they got him out, and they brought in a special car in the script that he went out in, and they got him to an undisclosed airport where they got him on a military plane, and they said there was only four leather seats and a portable toilet in that plane that got him to the Air Force base where I had it written down which one it was, but where Air Force One was setting in the airport, it stayed there, got guarded by troops, but the one that was hid away in a hangar, they got him to there and took off, and there they had some of reporters who had no idea what was going on. What do they have us here? Where are we going? And they took their cell phones and everything away, so it wasn't just before they landed in Afghanistan that they were told, this is where we're going, in a darkened plane, they landed there in that war zone, and he surprised them there. That must have been quite an event for those troops that were far from home to have that happen. But you know, there is coming one, not just the commander-in-chief of our armed forces or our president, but there is coming the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that is coming, and it's going to be unexpected. I mean, unexpected in the extent that we doesn't know. We don't know the time or the hour. And so my first point this morning is there will be no time to prepare at His coming. There will be no time to prepare at His coming. I mean, If we had known that Miriam was coming, I would have at least had cream for her coffee this morning. But I've been drinking it black, you know, so I had no cream for her. But there's so much more we have to prepare for, and we need to be prepared. And there's going to be no time. In Revelation, there in that first chapter, in the third verse, he tells us there that for the time is at hand. He said that those that are reading and you hear the words of this prophecy, which are written herein, the time is at hand, which means, and that at hand was the word for the time is near, it is ready. He didn't say when, but we need to understand that the time is at hand. Now, to us, all these years, but in the Lord's timing, to Him and in His planning, and we've seen many things in His working just in our lifetime, but a day is like 1,000 years in His, and so it's this isn't a long time for Him. But God has purposely not revealed the timing of His coming. It could be at any time. And we need to be expectant of His coming, alert and looking forward to Him. And so don't believe those who set times and His set dates. I think of in Matthew 24, and I'm going to read 36 to 39. It will be as unexpected as it was in the days of Noah. As unexpected in the days of Noah. It says there, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were not expecting it. They should have been. I mean, Noah had been preaching the whole time in the building of that ark. Somewhere in the vicinity of 100 years of preaching and building, warning to people. It says he was a preacher of righteousness, and they were in wickedness. So there was a contrast in his preaching. What it must have been as they watched him and his sons, and as they built that ark, as they brought in wood and building this and thinking, what are you building a boat for? A big ship? You know, there was no, they hadn't even experienced rain. They watched him. And then as it came time, they must have been quite a sight to see. Here's animals coming two by two. I mean, in fact, I just read a thing this week where people were mocking that, saying that, now how is Noah and his sons going to get these animals from all over, rounded up, and they're going to come marching in two by two? With God, nothing. There was miraculous things that were taking place in the midst of that. But they went on, just life as normal, not worrying about what was being preached, not worrying about the coming of judgment. They watched Noah and his family put supplies in there. They watched, finally, when, how's this big door going to be closed? And it says, the scripture says, God closed the door. Miraculously, that door went closed and that ark was sealed up. They didn't know till the flood came. Stuff they hadn't seen happen before. The windows of heaven were opened and the rain came down. It says the fountains of the deep were opened up. I mean, all of a sudden there was water coming out of the ground and coming down, and they perished. There was no time to prepare. It won't be announced any more than the scripture says in Luke chapter 12 that a thief would announce his coming. It says there in Luke 12, and know this, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. It's not going to be at the time that you think, but it will come suddenly. You know, some try to predict it, thinking they have figured it out. And when you hear that, know that they're deceived. Because the scripture says, they don't know. So, as I remember, I think it was Pastor Ashbrook saying, maybe one of the first ones for the first time I heard said, when you hear the day or the hour predicted, you know that's not the time. Because they don't know. It often, I often wondered, why do they compare it? the coming of the Lord as a thief in the night. But then I realized a thief comes to tear you up. When the Lord comes, it's not just going to be there's a coming judgment. There's judgment that's coming. And there's the need of our being prepared. And so that the next thing we want to see is that preparation is required. In Luke 21, verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." That's actually a different Greek word for watch than the other one, but it's the context of be prepared. Looking for, preparing for. When the scripture says we are to watch, he's saying you need to be looking for and preparing for. That's what we're to be doing. Looking for, knowing it can be any time, and being prepared for it. That we may be worthy to escape the things that are to come to pass. There's judgment coming. And the Lord wants us to escape that. We're not to be taken and to have to worry about the wrath, because in the end of that verse in Luke 21:36 it says, "And to stand before the Son of God." We can stand before the righteous King of Kings and Lord of Lords only in the righteousness of Christ. We need His righteousness so that we can escape those things that are coming. Watching here is being prepared, not just expecting at any time, but preparing for His coming. Oh, how important it is. First of all, know Christ. turn from your sin to Christ and make sure that you are in Him. Not just that you said some words, but that you've in your heart given yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, there's a passage there of the 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And that's a passage of scripture that shows these there's a wedding, and there's these that are going to be at the wedding. They want to be at the wedding, but they don't know when the bridegroom is going to come. And so it's a passage there that talks about how these all had lamps, but there were, of the 10, only 5 of them really prepared. They didn't have any oil for the lamps. They had nothing to make light with if he came in the dark. There in the middle of the darkness, it's cried out, "The bridegroom's coming!" And 5 of them, wow, they lift their lamps and they're heading out to meet him. The other 5 don't have any light. Their lamps. He says, "We got to go get oil quick!" I think of those that I've heard declare, "Someday I'm going to get right with the Lord. Someday I'm going to prepare. But right now I have this I want to do," or whatever. There's other things that are important. There's no time to prepare. And the Lord, in many different ways in the Scripture, I've given some examples here, but the Lord was clear in letting people know there's not going to be time to prepare. You've got to prepare ahead of time. So you don't go on just living life but we are to be looking for and preparing for that we will escape the things that are to come and will be able to stand before the Son of Man. We prepare food and shelter. We want for that security, but what about eternity? We prepare for the things that aren't near as important for what is to come. The next thing I'd like us to see is His coming is going to signal the coming last days and the completion of His redemptive plan. His coming signals, in the Scripture it talks about the day of the Lord. And I always look at that, the day of the Lord, and I see this is happening the day of the Lord, and this signals the coming of the day of the Lord, the end times of what God is planning to do. And that's where we just read this passage of Scripture this morning in our responsive reading, when we see here the rapture of believers, when the believers are taken out. This is something that wasn't really understood until we have it here in Thessalonians when Paul wrote, because here were Christians that were dying and they're wondering, the Lord hasn't come. And so Paul, he gives us this passage of Scripture that says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And this isn't those that are just sleeping, those that have died. But he says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord's going to send from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of the joys of meeting up there in the cemetery on Resurrection Sunday is just to recognize those believers, their bodies are going to be raised up. And if we're there in the cemetery, when the Lord comes, this coming Resurrection Sunday, we'll see the Lord come in the air and the saints raised, and we'll be caught up together there with them. What a blessing. Now, there's some people that say there's no place in the Bible where you can find the rapture. The word rapture does not, in our English translation, the word caught up here, Pastor Howard told us about this here just recently, but the word that is translated caught up here, when they translated the Greek into Latin, in the Latin Vulgate, that the Latin word is raptor. Rapture is in the Bible. It's just, I guess it's like for us, it's a transliteration of that Latin word, rapture. But whether they want to call it rapture or caught up ones, we're going to be caught up with the Lord. What a blessing it is, and we look forward to that. And that's what we see that's what we are looking forward to. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the blessed hope. This is what we're looking forward to as believers. The coming of Christ for the Christian is a wondrous event. And then we know from 1 Corinthians 15, that's where it talks about, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump shall sound, The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruption must put on incorruption. What a blessing we look forward to as believers. This, we're not going to have this frail body. I won't worry about heart attacks. You won't worry about whatever the problems are, what the disabilities that we have, the things that just come with age or whatever, or sickness and pandemics and all that. You know, it's all over then. We will be with our Lord and Savior. We will receive our glorified bodies, and we will be then, as we read here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. These passages indicate to us the first event that comes suddenly, and that is in the appearance of Jesus Christ in the air to call his saints to himself, the rapture, the catching up. But this also signals the beginning of judgments. It also signals the beginning of judgments. And so there, and we see that as it follows, the sudden rapture of the church, it ushers in the coming judgments. We've got the 7 years of tribulation that are there, are referred to as Jacob's trouble in one passage. But God's judgments are coming, and that's why we read on in 1 Thessalonians, and we come in chapter 5 in those first verses where it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." We need to be prepared now, because at the coming of the Lord, then comes the judgments. And we have there in Revelation chapter 4 through 18, we have the judgments of the nations under God's wrath. We see the various ways that God brings various judgments upon men. It's also a blessing to see in the midst of that where God in his wisdom and his plans uses that time to, in his judgments and on Israel to bring them to repentance during that time. And so it's in that time that we do see God working and part of the completion of his prophecy taking place as far as Israel at that time. But then in Revelation 19, we have then Jesus returning to the earth when he takes total control. And there, that is another sudden event of judgment. When we come there to the end of Revelation and in 19, and we see, we see men before him, and I think of the passage in Philippians, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's not going to be any atheists there. They'll all of a sudden recognize he is God. I will bow before him. It's too late for salvation. But every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. There'll be no communism. There'll be no atheists. They will all, because Jesus takes total control. We know that from Revelation chapter 20, and it's the fulfillment of some of those Old Testament prophecies about the millennial reign of Christ, where Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years, and we'll have the most perfect we will have not just the most perfect government, but we will have the perfect government for 1,000 years on the earth. And then the unconverted man will be deceived by Satan again, and he'll find out even under a perfect government that we're not it shows the need for redemption. And so finally after that, and of course we come to that last battle, but we come to that great white throne, and I saw a great white throne, and on him sat, whose from face the heaven and earth passed away. There was no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The other was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written. The sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell were delivered up which were in them, and they were judged every man, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The sudden coming of the Lord Jesus Christ signals, yes, the rapture of the church. It signals the judgments of God that He has proclaimed taking place upon the nations. We see the final judgment when men are cast forever into an eternal hell. Yes, there's no time to prepare. Now is the accepted time. Are you watching and ready for when He suddenly appears? Yes, that coming of Christ signals that His coming for His own, and that final redemptive plan coming to conclusion through that times. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or 6, verse 2. For He said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. We need to make sure we're ready. And then we need to use our time as well to help others. So we have to ask, have you been delivered from the wrath that is to come? I appreciate those verses so much when I read them, that He's not given to us to be under His wrath, but He's given to us to be under His love and to be with Him. But now is the accepted time. Are we telling others of this eternally important message? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, that good news of Christ, to every creature. He that believeth on Him and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, that we will not be like those five virgins that wanted to go to the wedding, but when they finally got their oil that they wanted and finally arrived, the bridegroom there said, I don't know you. I don't know you. We don't want to be in that case. There will many at the last day that says, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, or we did that. And He'll say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. There's only one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. because He is the one who has redeemed us and saved us and cleansed us. Let us be watching. Be ready. And since we know He is coming, let's be prepared. You know, not just having our salvation, but living for Him. So that we can take some others with us. You know, the Lord says He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That means each of us have that God has given to us. If you're a believer in Christ, you know, there's people that you know and that you can talk to that are never going to listen to Pastor Howard. They're not going to listen to somebody else in the church. But they'll listen to your testimony as you tell them, you know, I learned something. I learned something about what Christ did for me. And God has given to us that ministry of reconciliation that we can take the gospel, the good news of Christ, to others that they may be ready, that they can rejoice as we rejoice. It's a blessing to be here together in this building together, where we can rejoice in what we have in Christ. But there's a world out there that the Lord wants us to preach to. It's a work, it's His work in their hearts. You know, you can't save anybody. And you know, I heard things, where people were bragging on me. There wasn't anything I could do, right? There's nothing you could do, really. You know. But it's God working through you. And the work that God does through each of us, that's what God has given to us. So, let's be ready, knowing that the sudden, without warning, return of Christ could be at any time. And you know what? No, He didn't come back in 1960. Boy, we are an awful lot closer right now. And it might be yet this morning. Within the next 7 minutes. I mean, this could be the time. Let's be ready, watching, preparing, and have our lives as they ought to be, living for Him while we have opportunity. Shall we pray? Thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your Word. Thank You for revealing to us, Lord, that we won't have time to prepare. But Lord, You've given us time. You've told us now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Lord, thank You for giving us this time and these opportunities. And Lord, help us to go forth and serve You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In light of that message, sing of Christ's return, will Jesus find us watching? Number 148, we'll sing of that return of Christ. Let's stand as we sing 148.